I want to discuss with you a few inyanim relating to the Oroin. This week's parasha is Parashas Truma, and we learn about the Asu Aroin Atzei Shitim. There's a mitzvah to make an Oroin. The dimensions are 2.5 amos long by 1.5 amos wide. The amah v'chitzi kamosa. There are many parts. The Oroin has badim, and the Oroin is made from 3 different boxes. The middle box is wood, outer box, inner box. It's covered with the kapoires, and as we mentioned, there are the badim, and what goes in the aron, the most important thing, the luchos go in the aron, together with the Sefer Torah, according to one opinion. This appeared not that long ago in the Daf Yomi, Masechet Yoma. I want to discuss a few different ideas relating to the inyan of the aron. Now the first thing, I came across that, what I'm telling you today, by and large, not all of it comes from this sefer called the Minchas Aharon. It's a very, very choshva sefer on Chumash Shmos. I believe he has Chumash Bereishis. He has a sefer on the Yemei HaMetzarim, and he put out recently a sefer on Pesach, on Yoni Pesach. It's a very choshva sefer. It's a tremendous. The name of the Mechaber, I'm very bad with names, is Aaron. And I pronounce this Masnik. Miasnik. All I know is many years ago when I got to say, for someone told me about the Mechaber, he says, I spent some time learning this one of the Svarim, and it was like really good. It's like quality Chidushim. You know, a niche cut above the rest. So I said, who is the Mechaber? So he said to me, oh, you don't know the Mechaber. He learned in a special koilo. What is the special koilo? This is a koilo for married men, avreichim, and the rule is there's a dormitory. You don't go home during the week.
Oh,
it's like a yeshiva. You get married, shana v'shana, and you go the whole week, you're in the yeshiva, day and night. No, you only go home for Shabbos. And they only would accept very few yechidim. Because you have to have a certain type of wife that would tolerate. That would.
The wife pays.
Some say that this is the shalom bias koilo, right? The shalom. And you know, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you really want to be a Talmud Chacham, you know, it's not like you're going for lunch, going for dinner. And check your email and check this. If you really want to shteig, become a real Talmud Chacham, you know, so, you know, you're married, so, you know, you don't have any Yitzhahara, and you sit and learn Yoimim V'layla, no Daigus, you're only going for Shabbos. And, you know, it was very interesting. I remember years ago when I first heard about it, I heard this, and I said, it makes sense, because such a sefer, such high quality Chidushim, doesn't come from people running home every 5 minutes to check what's doing here and there. You sit and learn the way you should, Yom V'Laila, and then you can become a Talmud Chacham, and you can put out a sefer like this. So I remember how it made a roshim on me, like you connect the dots. It's true. Okay, so he says something over here, oh, this is fascinating, which opened up my mind to a minog Yisrael that I always wondered about. We once discussed the Eid, why are there lions on the Aron? Mm-hmm. Remember that? We discussed every Easter. Today, some people don't like it because it's a Tselem, a Pesel, they make lions. Minig Yisrael you have on the Pareches. But we never really discussed why there are luchos. Why are there luchos on just about every traditional Aron Kodesh? Whether they're on the Pareches or on the top of
That's
the Aron. A symbol. Okay, so today, you know, today we live in the modern world. We're always trying to outdo the past. I'm sure probably the trend today is not to have luchos. Today, the design is. No, maybe I take it back. I don't know. But traditionally, every Aron Kodesh from time immemorial has somewhere massive luchos, whether they're Michelangelo luchos, they're round on top, whether the way they appear in the Torah, they're square. It's not really possible to recreate the luchos because there were many miracles that went into the luchos. But why? Why? Because that was Matan Torah. So simple, that's the simple answer. Matan Torah, Hashem gave us the Torah, Har Sinai, we received the Torah, we received the luchos. Okay, very nice, but that's not what the Sefer Torah is, a lot more than the luchos. Okay, you'll tell me that in the luchos is Mushra, Tayag Mitzos, Kalatara Kula, and on Har Sinai, Hashem gave us Kalatara Kula. But what's in the Aron Kodesh is different. It's not the same thing as the luchos. Moshe went to Shemayim for another another 180 days, whole total of 120 days to receive the Torah, to tshuva, and so on and so forth, and 40 years in the Midbar, he taught us the Torah. Why are the luchos an icon of every Aron Kodesh? So it appears, I found the answer, an amazing answer, and it's really a Rambam. Let me read the words of the Rambam. Rambam, Perek Yud, Hilchas Sefer Torah. Mitzvah liyachet l'sefer Torah mokoy. There is a mitzvah to designate for a Sefer Torah a special place. It's a very important halacha when it comes to taking a Sefer Torah to a temporary location, Beis Ovel, or you go to a hotel for a simcha. You just can't have the Sefer Torah lying around. You have to be miyached a mokim for the Sefer Torah. By being miyached a mokim for the Sefer Torah, you, so to speak, you're giving honor to the Sefer Torah. And then he says a word, let me just read the words and we'll go back and explain, ulechabdoi, and to give it honor. Okay, let me just read the words, ulechadroi, another expression, and to glorify it, to hider, to enhance it, to embellish, to beautify it, yoyser midai, more than is required. Go overboard, make a beautiful aroin, a beautiful wine. Now he says some powerful words in Perek Yud, Hilchos Sefer Torah, Devarim Shebeluchos Habwai. Now these words are not perfectly clear. Devarim, words, Shebeluchos Habris. Hein Hein Shebechol Sefer V'Sefer. Because the words that appear in the Luchos Habris, the Aseres Hadibros, Parshas Yisro, 2 weeks back, the Devarim Shebeluchos Habris, the words of the Luchos Habris, Hein Hein Shebechol Sefer V'Sefer, appear in the middle of every Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah has how many letters are there in a Sefer Torah? There are about 300,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. Right? 304,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. Among the 304,000 letters, there are 620 letters, which are the words of the Aseres HaDibros. So therefore, the Rambam seems to be saying is that because in the Sefer Torah there are the Aseres HaDibros, that is why you should be mechabed the Sefer Torah. So there are two dinim in a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah is called Torah Kula, Tayag Mitzvos, and in the middle of the Sefer Torah you'll find somewhere the Aseres HaDibros, the Luchos Habris. And seemingly what the Rambam means to be saying is, where do we find the Makar in the Torah that one is required to give honor, Yoyser Midai, to a Sefer Torah? The Aron. Because the Aron was Atzei Shittim, symbol wood, but v'tzipiso isoy midbayisu michutz, you cover it on the inside and the outside, and you create a crown and a beautiful kapores. We find that we gave enormous honor to the luchos. We gave incredible honor to the luchos. The luchos, which are the luchos, were put in this beautiful aron. And the aron was embellished with gold front and back, and the kapores. And every Sefer Torah has in it the words of the Luchos. Okay, now let's take a step back. Let me read you the words again. Let me ask you a question. The words are Mitzvah liyached l'sefer Torah mokoyim ulechabdoi ulechadro yoser midai. Here's my dilemma. It's not my dilemma. It's his dilemma. The author of the Sefer, Minchas Aron. When it says ulechabdoi ulechadroi, is he referring back to the Sefer Torah, or is he referring to the Mikoyim HaSefer Torah? Let me read it both ways. Mitzvah liyached, it's a mitzvah to designate the Sefer Torah, Mokoyim, a place. And ulechabdoi, to be mechamei the Sefer Torah, ulehadroi, and to glorify the Sefer Torah, yoser midai. Is that the pshat? Or is the pshat, no, mitzvah liyached l'sefer Torah mokim. There's a mitzvah to be miyached for the Sefer Torah in mokim, period. And now there's a new mitzvah, whoever the mokim is, ulechabdoi, to be mechabei the mokoyim, ulechadroi, and to give hider to the mokoyim, yoser midai. No, so he goes on to. It appears the fact that the Rambam goes and says, what's the makar for this? The source that you have to give kavod and hider is from the luchos. So the Luchos, is from the Luchos, which was put in the Aron. Now, what exactly? So that's not the Sefer Torah. We find that we were mechabed the mokoim of the Luchos. We don't find anywhere in the Torah that we gave kavod to a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah needs dignity. It needs to be put in a special mokom, a special mokom. The mokom of the Sefer Torah needs to be put in a mokom. But what we find in the Torah, the kavod that we find is giving kavod to, I'm not being clear, is to the mokom of the Luchos.
Does that boil down to, do I give the kavod to getting a beautiful mentola for the Sefer Torah, or do I buy a beautiful parochas for the other?
Or both.
You do both, but the point is, Me'ikar, what he wants to say is that Me'ikar Hadin, if we just were giving cover to the Sefer Torah, it would not be necessary in any Beis HaKnesses to have an elaborate Aron Kodesh. We have a holy object called the Sefer Torah, which has many laws. We put it in a box, and the box is a clean, honorable box, and it's covered, and it's the Sefer Torah is now protected and is dignified. When you build an Aron Kodesh, what are you doing? Are you giving cover to the Sefer Torah? No, he says. The cover you're giving by building an Aron Kodesh is you're giving cover to the Mokoim where the Sefer Torah is. That is a secondary step. You look at a shul and you look at a beautiful Aron Kodesh. So what do you say to yourself? Oh, I'm giving cover to the Torah. That's not cover to the Torah. You want to give cover to the Torah? Fulfill what it says in the Torah. That's cover to the Torah. When you see in the Beis HaKnesses the beautiful Aron Kodesh, that is a kavod to a mokoim, to a place where the Sefer Torah is. Why are we giving cover to the mokom? We have no source for this in the Torah. The only place we find a source to give cover to a mokom is to give cover to the luchos. The luchos were put in a mokom, and that mokom was a mokom mechubot. So that means the answer to Tara Minog. Why do we have a beautiful Aron Kodesh? Are we have a beautiful Aron Kodesh because we're giving cover to the Torah? No, absolutely not. Because if you want to give cover to the Torah, fulfill what it says in the Torah. You want to give cover to the Torah, just put the Torah in a nice closed box where it's not exposed to people walking back and forth. Hidur and kavod is because of the mokom where the Sefer Torah stands. But there is no requirement to give cover to the mokom of the Sefer Torah. The only mokom we have in Chazal to give cover to a mokom is to give cover to the luchos. And being that the luchos, the aseres hadibros, are in the Sefer Torah, that's why we're giving kavod to the mokom. Therefore, it makes perfectly logical sense why the icon of every Aron Kodesh is the luchos. Because the beauty of the Aron Kodesh is the beauty of the mokom. And the only mokom to give kavod to a mokom is mokom of the luchos, not the mokom of the Sefer Torah. And that's why, seemingly, We have a symbol on the Aron, the Luchos. So am I being clear? Let's review one last time. It represents, that's the only legitimacy. It's the only legitimacy to build a beautiful Aron Kodesh. The kavod we have in this structure is a kavod for the Makom, not a kavod for the Sefer Torah. Why do you give cover to a mokom?
Why does the having a kedusha then, parayit, as we say?
Because tashmishe mitzvah. That's another issue. That's tashmishe mitzvah. But why are you building an Aron Kodesh? To give cover to the Torah? No. You're giving cover to the mokom. Where do we find a concept in the Chumash where you give cover to a mokom? Only the luchos. So we don't have luchos.
Like
so
that's a symbol.
We don't have luchos. Open up the Aron Kodesh. There are luchos in the Aron Kodesh? No. The Rambam says you do have luchos in the Aron Kodesh. The 620 letters in the Sefer Torah, those are the luchos. So the rest of the Torah, 300,000 letters, don't require this whole spiel, this whole beautiful structure. It's not necessary. If we would have such a thing as two separate scrolls, we'd have a scroll of the Aseres HaDibros. What? If you would be able, think about why did Moshe Rabbeinu make it? Because Moshe would make a Sefer Torah, and he'll make a Luchos, a little Megillah. I have a little Megillah called the Megillah Saseres Hadibros. We have a Sefer Yeshua, Sefer Shevetim, Sefer Melachim, and we'll have a special holy book called the Aseres Hadibros. Think about it. Most of the Aseres Hadibros are repeated in the Torah anyway. Right, so we'll separate the two together, and we would have a Sefer Torah. Every single week, we'll read the Parsha Shavu. We'll have a Sefer Torah. We'll have a Megillah called. You would not have an Aron Kodesh.
So why do we make a Sefer Torah when you take out all this from? You say to put a Siddur, a Chumash back in there.
You put a Siddur.
It should not be empty.
I don't know.
Candle.
A candle. Put a candle. Yes, it's a neshama. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know. That's another idea. I just want to explain. Theoretically, if we would take the Torah and break into two parts, a Megillah for Aseres Hadibros and the rest of the Torah, and in the Beis HaKnesses we would only read from the Sefer Torah, we would have absolutely no requirement to build an edifice like this. You come to shul. In the front, there's a window. There's a shulchan. There's a bima. There's an amud. You need a fancy aron? Absolutely not. Where's the Sefer Torah? It's in a box. It's in the basement somewhere. It's on the side. It's why? But if you would build, just have a megillah, the luchos itself. Oh, that you need kavod because that's what the Torah required. The Torah to build an aron and a kodesh hakodashim.
We talked a while back of haftiras.
Yeah.
That you don't put it in.
You're not supposed to make her hadin. The difference, if you unless you don't have a choice,
should make a difference because
what does that have to do with this?
The Aron has nothing to do with the.
Exactly. So that's what the Rambam says. So why then are we giving the chabed the mokoim of the Sefer Torah? Because in every Sefer Torah there are the luchos, and that is what requires us to give cover not just to the Sefer Torah, which is very minimal. But to give cover to the luchos, therefore we show this on the outside of every single Aron Kodesh, the luchos, because that is our license to build this edifice to give cover to the mokoyim. This is what he appears to be saying from the Rambam. Very interesting. So let's go to another idea. He has a nice discussion about the badim. Let me read you the few psukim, and let me just right away jump to the conclusion of his idea, and then let me elaborate from another idea that I saw somewhere else. We are brainwashed in believing that the Aron had only one set of badim. We have an Aron, and on the Aron there are badim. Why are the badim there? In order to transport the Aron when they travel in the Midbar. Well, what is the unique halach about the badim of the Aron? V'lo yosudu mimenu. When Klal Yisrael came to a destination, to Shulchan, they removed the badim. The Mizbeach Hazav, they removed the badim. The Mizbeach, the menorah didn't have badim. That itself is very interesting. I mean, the Aron, the menorah, why did the menorah have badim? Why not? Well, they also had to move the menorah. How do they know? They look at the arch of Titus. They show they're schlepping the aron. You need also a badim to remove the menorah. But that's another issue.
But take it out.
What?
They took out the
badim. But there were no badim for the menorah. For the menorah, what?
So they
carry
it.
Right? Yeah, they carry. How do they carry it? It must have been very difficult. Did they put it down sideways? That's a very interesting question. Why were there no badim for the menorah? But the badim by the aron are unique in that the badim v'lo yosudu mimenu, that when you encamp, the badim may not be removed. Now let me read you the psukim, and there seems to be a lot of repetition in the psukim. We also aron at seishitim. Okay, tells the dimensions. Jump down pasuk yudbeis v'yotzak dolo you shall cast. Arba taba'oz are four rings of gold. Vinosata, where shall you put those four rings? Al arba pa'amo yisav, on its four sides. A pa'amoin here is translated as a side. Then the pasuk repeats itself. And by the way, ushtei taba'oz al tzaloho echos, ushtei taba'oz al tzaloho hashenis. Wait, didn't we just say in the beginning of the pasuk that you shall go, you shall cast four tabos, you shall four rings, and on the four pa'amoisof. Now we're coming to clarify from the four, two on one side, two on the other side. Don't you think we can figure that out by ourselves? There's repetition. Then it says, Yosisa vadei atseish, make badim. Doesn't tell us how many. It just says, make badim, atseish, shitin vitzipisa samzav. Now, where do you put the badim? Again, there's repetition. Veheveisa es habadim batabos, put the badim, insert the badim on the rings, al tzales aron. And it says here, loseis es aron bohem. The purpose of putting the badim is to carry. It's to carry. Now that would seem to indicate that when you're not carrying the aron, when you're not carrying the aron, you take them out. It says lo seis. But then the pasuk says b'taba'o saron yu habadim, in the rings shall be the badim lo yasuru mimenu. We could have just wrote pasuk the second pasuk and omitted the first pasuk. This is too much repetition taking place in this pasuk. So it's he who wants to suggest. He's not the only one that suggests this, but he brings it out in a very nice way. Is that there is such an opinion that there were two sets of badim on the aron. There was a set of badim on the aron that was permanently attached to the aron, and upon those badim, there's a prohibition of lo yosudu mimenu; they may not be removed. And there was another set of badim that was added to the aron that was used to transport the aron. Now, in other words, the first set of badim that was put on the aron, that was which was permanently attached, that said was to teach Klal Yisrael, what Chazal tell us, don't make any mistake and think that the aron needs someone to carry it. The aron carries you. Throughout life, people who take hold of the Torah, who attach themselves to the Torah will carry you through life. That's the yisod that you should learn from the aron. In addition to that lesson, that there are permanently attached poles coming out of the aron that will carry Klal Yisrael throughout their lives, there's also another set of badim which are practical, which are used, which are being created for the purpose of carrying the aron when you take the aron in the masos. Now let's read the psukim again, and everything fits in perfectly. Pasuk says, "V'asu aron atzei shitim, v'yotzak delo you shall cast arba." Taba'o Zahav, four wings, Vinosata, and those four wings shall be Al Arba Pa'amosav, on the four sides. These four rings are going to be for the permanent badim. In addition to these permanent badim, by the way, I also want you to make an additional four rings, an additional ushtei taba'os al tzalei ho'echas, ushtei taba'os al tzalei hashenis, another two rings.
Who says this?
Who says this? This is said by, give me 1 second, this is a Tosfos, believe it or not, Tosfos in Yom Daf Ayin Beis, v'iloy d'mistapina. If I wasn't afraid of mechavrayi, a very unusual expression. One of the balei, if I was not afraid of my friends, havi oimer d'ches tabos hayu ba'aron. This is Tosfos in Yoma Daf Ayin Beis and Daf Ayin Beis. A few days ago on the Daf, a few days ago. I didn't do the Tosfos. I don't remember this. I didn't do that.
So nobody ever said it before.
No, there are. I don't know. There are other rishonim. He's not the only one that says this. I don't have all the names.
Medrash?
No, there's no medrash. No rishonim. These are rishonim. They're learning psha and the pasuk. Two tabois. Now I want to go further. We're not finished. I don't want to go a step further than what it says here. It's very clear. First, you put four tabois. Then it says make badim. It doesn't say how many badim. It says make a lot of badim. Make two sets of badim. One the permanent badim. One the badim which you move. Then it says pasuk yedalid vehedeisa es habadim batabois al tzalos arun losseitz arun mohem. Then you put in the removable badim into one set, which seemingly would mean that you put those badim into, I guess, the first four rings. And then b'taba'os ha'aron, that's going to be the other two, the other rings, yihyu habadim, you should put in the other badim, lo yosuru mimenu, and those badim shall never be removed, to teach Klal Yisrael the lesson that the aron is reaching out to us. The aron is reaching out to us, the aron will carry us, that's the lesson of what the Torah represents. But you have to be practical also, in Sevech Malanes, when you carry the aron in the midbar, you can have the two additional badim. Now, why would you want to have two different badim? Now, here's what I want to be mechadish. At this point in time, there's a very big dilemma when exactly Parashas Truma was written. Was it written, was before the Chet Egel, or was it written after the Chet Egel? Let's make an assumption. Okay, let's take sides for the moment. And the Mishkan was the mitzvah of building the Mishkan was done after the Chet Egel. Correct? There's a very popular approach. After the Chet Egel, Hashem says, build for me a Mishkan. That means they had at this point in time, how many sets of luchos? Two sets of luchos. The Shivri luchos and the full luchos. Chazal says Shivri luchos v'nochos v'aron. Two different madrigos. When you have two badim, when you carry the aron, what are you carrying? When you're carrying the aron, what are you carrying? What are you carrying in the box? They're carrying the luchos. The box is tofel, ik of the tofel, Cheerios the milk. What are you carrying? You're carrying the luchos. So how many luchos are you carrying?
two sets. Cool. Every time you go and you travel, you're carrying the Shiva Luchos
and the
regular Luchos. And there's a discussion in the Gemara that when they went to war, what exactly did they take with them? They take with them the Shiva Luchos or the full Luchos, but when they travel in the Masos, they took both, obviously. They carry both. There are two sets of Badin. Perhaps the two sets of Badin, if we learn that the Mishkan was built after the Chedor Egel, and that teller is telling you, I want you to build two sets of Badin, perhaps the two sets of Badin correspond to the two different sets of Luchos inside. There are Badin, one set of Badin are for the Luchos that are shattered, the Shivei Luchos, and there's one set of Luchos that... Now, I'm being very vague.
Why don't you say there were two Aron Kodesh?
One Aron, yeah.
Chazal don't say that. There's only one Aron Kodesh.
No,
that's when they went to Muhammad. Let's talk about in the Mishkan.
His own Oil Moed.
That's when they went to Muhammad. We're not doing Muhammad.
Moshe, where did he stay?
Moshe stayed in the Oil Moed, but the Luchos were not there. That doesn't say. No, he went into the Oil Moed. There's only one Oil Moed. Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe. He went into this oil. He went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Chazal say. He didn't go to his tent and he went to the Oil Moed. There was one Aron, and they carried the one Aron in the Midbar. And in this one Aron, there were two sets of Luchos. And so perhaps we can suggest, now I have not worked out all the details, something for you to think about, something an idea to work over, perhaps the two sets of Badin correspond to the two Luchos, the two sets. One set of Badin, which was permanently attached, maybe that represents the Shiver Luchos. The Shiver Luchos was Masa Lukim to on a certain Madrega, was a higher Madrega. Hashem doesn't need you to carry his Luchos. The Luchos, Masa Elukim Hema. The Luchos themselves are Masa Elukim. The Aron was Noiseus Noisof with regard to the Shivrei Luchos. Those Badim that corresponded to the Shivrei Luchos, which was Masa Elukim, was permanently attached, and they carried Klal Yisrael. The other set of Badim that were inserted in the additional two Tabos were to correspond to the second set of Luchos, which were crafted by Moshe Rabbeinu, which were earthly Luchos, which needed support, needed human beings. There, the miracle did not apply. There, they put the Badim in when they traveled, and they took them out when they left. There's something to it. So this is a drush, which perhaps just want to throw out this idea, which you do see an opinion from Tosfos, and you do all the Rishonim say the same thing, and the Mamash fits perfectly into the pasuk.
Also given from
there was the Michtav Elokim, but it was not Masa, it was a lower Madrega. Although each one has a Mila, the Mila of the second set was there complete, the Shleimim. Mm-hmm. But the Chasaron is it was in the lower Madrega. It was Moshe Rabbeinu Psal Lucha. Moshe crafted on his own. The first set of Luchos we have no asaga what it was. Faluchos Masa Elokim Hema from beginning to end. On the other end out of the Chasaron that they were shattered. It represented an ideal of what we should strive for to return. We hope there's a Chazal that when Mashiach will come they'll be healed. The Luchos will be healed. They will be restored once again. But if you read the Psukim, and there are Rishonim to back this up, there are two sets of Badin. One set of Badin is permanently attached to teach Klal Yisrael that the Torah carries you, and there's one set of Badin which seemingly you only put the Badin in when you travel.
So we have another problem with our scroll pictures.
Well, there are many other issues with the way they are in Pittsburgh. We have Aron with legs. So with legs, not without legs. Aron is a box.
Yeah, what?
That's for you to think about. I would say that the Badin that were not removed, that were permanently attached, correspond to the Shivrei Luchos. And the Badin which were not permanently attached, which were removed, only were added when they traveled, were the Luchos that correspond to the second set of Luchos. Maybe you can argue the way. I want to stress this because the Luchos, the first Luchos that were shattered, were spiritual, were Masa Elokim. Hashem doesn't need you to carry his Luchos.
The original Aron was supposed to be only one set of them.
No, I told you that we're going with the assumption now after Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, it was to carry both sets of Luchos.
Right, but it still makes the assumption would be, it says in Pasuk only four. We say eight because it repeats the Pasuk.
Correct, right.
So we're saying that it has to be eight. So it sounds like originally there were four and the other four. There was an original set of Badim, and then there was a sub.
An additional set of Badim.
Additional. So the original set was for the first Luchas, and the...
Okay, that's what I'm trying to present.
That's right. That makes more
okay.
sense.
So let me give you one more idea to conclude. This appears to be based on the Maral.
This is Taisus and Yuma where?
This is Yom Ayin Beis. Ayin Beis. Toys doesn't say that it corresponds to two different sets of luchos. He just says this idea that there were two sets of badim. Yeah. One permanently attached, one that was removed occasionally.
You have to say luchos in Mestafina because he already said it earlier.
No, I'm trying to say is that it corresponds to the luchos and the shiver luchos.
It's a quote from Toys.
Yeah, I'm saying Toys had said the luchos in Mestafina. Once he said it already...
Okay, one more quick idea. This appears to be the Vav from the Maral. It's a very powerful idea. Very powerful Vav. There's probably a lot of Musar Hashkafa to build upon this. There's another point of repetition in the Pasuk with regard to the Kapiras. Before, when you build the Aron, it says the Aron, V'nasata El Ha'aron, after you build the Aron, with all three boxes and the Badim, V'nasata El Ha'aron, what should you put in the Aron? Eis Ho'edus Asher Eteni Lecha. The Eidos, which seemingly Rashi says is the Luchos I will give to you, which would then, according to Rashi's temptation, this was before Matan. This was, hey, that's the cycle. How do you learn? Asher Etein, did Hashem already give, not give? When did Hashem give Moshe Rabbeinu the Luchos? But that's what it says, Asher Etein Elecha, referring to the Luchos, period. Then it says, by the way, Moshe, don't forget, make for yourself a kapiras. On top of the Aron, don't leave it open, make a cover. And the cover is allowed with the Kruvim, and then after it tells you all the dimensions and exactly how to make the kapiras, it says, V'nosato esakaporis al ha'aron milamola, and then nochamal v'el ha'aron in the aron titein es ho'edus asher etein elecha. Repetition. Why does the pasuk tell us that in the aron put the luchos there once again? What is going on? So what does Rashi say here in pasuk chav? The Rashi does not say anything. So all mafarshim Rashi in pasuk chav does not address the repetition. The Gur Aryeh addresses the repetition. And he
in that location. Okay.
And no, he does say Pasuk Chafal. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. He does say I'm sorry. Lo yodate. I'm sorry. He does say Pasuk Chafal from Rashi. Rashi. I'm quoting Rashi. Lo yodati. Okay. I don't know. Lama nichbal. Why it's repeated? Sherei kvar nemar three pesukim before nemar v'nasata el haroin esoidus v'yesh loymar. Rashi says shabo lamed shabo oy doy aron levado b'loy kaparis hitin tchilo edus l'socha v'achakach hitin esakaparis olav. That while it's until, in other words, it took time to make the kaparis. There was a delay, but Saul made the aron. It took a week to make the kapiras. In the meantime, should I put the luchos in the aron? Yeah. In the meantime, put it there. Don't just leave the luchos outside. Okay. It's a very simple way to learn Shan the pasuk. The Gur Aryeh takes this Rashi and he addresses this Rashi and he elaborates. I don't know. He's elaborating. He's off the sefer Minchas Aron is elaborating the Gur Aryeh. I believe it's probably more what he's saying than what the Gur Aryeh is saying. He's saying a tremendous chiddush, an incredible insight. Olam b'shadin. Where do you put the luchos? Ask a child. Where do you put the luchos? Where do they go? Hashem gave Moshe the luchos have to go somewhere. So it goes in the Aron. No. The luchos, there are two places where you put the luchos. Number one, you put the luchos in the Aron. And number two, you put the luchos under the kapiras. The Torah is teaching you a briska. Of a briska Torah. The Rosh Hashanah, he learned in brisk. There are two dinim in the mokom of the luchos. The luchos go in the aron, and the luchos are tachas underneath the kapiras. Happens to be tachas the kapiras, and in the aron is the same place. But it's two different ways of looking at what are the luchos. Now, what is the hashkafa in the borders upon something like this, which I'm just elaborating a little bit, which I'm leaving it for you to elaborate. What is the aron? The aron represents the concept Torah lav bashanayimi. The aron is your makom in this world for the Torah. Make a makom. It's a box of atzei arozim, atzei shitim. It's shitim, you cover with gold. It's your makom. It's a box. Ein meruba b'masa bereshis. It's a square, simple box. It grows from the ground. Toira lav b'ashamayim. It's yours, Klal Yisrael. Take it, use it, figure it out, understand it on your level, and be happy with it. It's your makom. But there are strings attached. the luchos still go tachas the kapoiras. What is the kapoiras? The kruvim. What are the kruvim? The kruvim are the mokim hashroas hashchina. It's like you say tachas kanfe hashchina. Mamish. By a kelmola, you say may the neshama Hashem put the neshama tachas kanfe hashchina. That's the most spiritual thing you can possibly say about anything in this world. And that's what it says. It says here after it tells you put the luchos in the oron, make a kapyrus, and put the luchos underneath the kapyrus. So what is it basically? What's the sachako? There are many people who have come along, and there's something to it. They say, well, Torah, you know, times have changed. We have the right to take the Torah, to manipulate the Torah. Our generation is different, and we have to reinterpret the Torah. Torah v'lav ha-shamayimi, and we have to go to extreme measures to reinterpret the Torah based upon our generation. And they quote sources, you know, that's what Torah is all about. Torah v'lav. There's truth to that.
Yes and no.
But if Torah was only in the Oron, maybe they would be right to some degree. But that's not true, because Torah, the mokum of Torah is tachas, the kapoiras. And the kapoiras represents the kanfei hashchina. It's ours in this world with strings attached. There is some connection that it still retains to the shechina, to Hashem's guide, Hashem's understanding.
So there's always this tension,
exactly,
between the physical
and the spiritual.
What the Maharal would call the sechel eloki.
Yeah. So this is the point I just want to bring out. This idea, the repetition, the Maharal's idea. There are two mekaymos, and the two mekaymos represent it's ours, but not 100%. Hashem is retaining some degree of ownership by keeping it tachas kanfei. Stacho with three different ideas we've discussed. We discussed the kovod to the makom that's rooted in the luchos, not in the Sefer Torah. The second idea of how many sets of badim, two sets, one keneged the shivri luchos, one keneged the luchos. And the third idea of the makom.
Where did he keep the broken luchos when he went up to get the other luchos?
He made a box. He made a timer. You saying Kaddish? You saying Kaddish? Okay, let's start.